Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
You were early on the Tua train, though.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Absolutely, I'm on the Tua train.
Well, we met him at the Super Bowl. Great kid.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
When I read Tyreek Hill's comments, if he feels that way about Mahomes and Reed, how is he going to feel about this new situation when it doesn't invariably go very well?
Today's guests, ESPN NBA analyst Doris Burke, Falcons tight end Kyle Pitts, plus, longtime sports columnist and author, Rick Riley. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Excited to talk to Doris Burke in about 20 minutes' time. She's going to join us from Boston, Massachusetts, side of the NBA Finals, game number 6 tomorrow night. She's calling it on ESPN Radio. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to have, maybe we can ask this of Rick Riley. He's a man of arts and letters and such. To use a phrase from the great movie Unforgiven, he's got a new book out here. So Help Me Golf. Maybe a 30 for 30 is necessary on this. Why does the National Basketball Association's last round of the playoffs called the finals, and the NHL's last round of its playoffs is called the Stanley Cup Final? No S. You leave that off for savings.
Well, French Canadians don't
that?
Use the
As
S.
They say
is that
hockey,
it?
Let's do that hockey.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
So it's a Canadian thing?
I mean, think about some, like, I know some French Canadians, and a lot of time they won't put an S at the end of a word that we would put.
Right, because that's their second language.
Yeah.
So maybe, are you saying that the Stanley Cup is called Stanley Cup Final because they're using English as a second language?
I'm not saying that.
That would be phenomenal if that's the real reason.
I'm just throwing it out there as maybe that could be the reason.
You're blaming it on the French, is basically
what
you're
doing. Say blame. I wouldn't say that.
Is that not a question you have the answer to then?
That's correct.
All right.
I don't have the answer to it, and I'm asking. I'm asking. Could it possibly be?
It's one of the commonly asked questions on Google.
Okay.
Why is it called final and not finals?
Yeah.
And
it's a shrug emoji.
Really
Google even said try and Google it. Is that what you're saying?
Google's
no answer.
Like, I don't know.
Does anybody out there know? I'd love to know.
Google said go to DuckDuckGo and see if you can find out.
Google told you to ask Jeeves, huh?
By the way, back
remember
in the,
ask Jeeves?
Back in the day when they
remember
used
that?
To go to
should we call? Remember you used to call a number? Would there be something you'd call? Like
they used to have hotlines that you could get information from.
Like now you can't get a human being just to get book a flight.
Back in the day when I used to go out, you know, in the early 2000s, I used to tell girls that I created Ask Jeeves. You know?
I mean, did that work?
I mean,
what? That was your game?
That was one of them.
Hey,
no,
you know, Ask Jeeves.
That,
exactly.
When you said I'm Jeeves.
She's like, what do you do? I said, well, have you ever heard of Ask Jeeves? Well, yeah. Well, you know, I created that.
And you had nothing to do with Ask Jeeves.
I don't think I ever used Ask Jeeves. Look, sometimes you did what you had to do when you were young in Hollywood, okay?
Very impressive. Clearly. Very, very impressive.
You know, wow. and your best friends on Best Friends on People magazine is the most eligible bachelor on the planet, beating Prince Harry. Like, you got to do something to get in where you fit
so
in.
So was this game Ashton approved? Was this line Ashton approved?
I mean, he didn't have to use lines, so he didn't really
care.
No, but
he heard... He had to know.
I probably didn't say it in front of him because he would have thrown me under the bus.
Very good. Have we tap danced long enough for you to actually find on the internet the answer to this question, Chris?
Okay, so the Chicago Tribune did a story about this in 2015.
Damn. Okay.
Okay. The headline is Stanley Cup Final, NBA Finals, which is correct?
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they really came to a conclusion. They talked to some guy.
Nobody knows.
So they had a quote here. Hold on. Let me see. Do I have to pay for this article? Frank Brown, the NHL's group vice president.
By the way, I know Frank Brown. He's a good dude, man.
So he was head of content integration.
I think Frank used to write for the Daily News, too. Like, he's a writer. Yeah.
Okay. So here's what he said. He goes, it is a singular event, meaning the Stanley Cup final.
Yes.
It is a singular event comprised of a series of individual games.
Yes.
While up to 7 games may be played, each game is an individual piece.
Yes.
And together, they comprise the final, just as multiple slices comprise a pie.
Wow, that's deep.
That's deep, man. Because you don't say pizza pies.
You know what that is? Frank's saying, I don't have the answer.
Frank's just
It's a great answer. That's like 3-card Monty. Don't look at that card. Look at this card. Look at this hand. Don't look at that hand.
So the
that
author,
was impressive.
I hate 3-card
Monty.
The
author of this article is Rhiannon Walker.
Okay.
She reached out to the NBA, who could not find any officials who would explain or justify the pluralization.
That's because they don't refer. If they referred to him as official, they'd have found one.
I'd say let's just go with my French Canadian.
I think TJ might be right.
How about this one?
I played with a lot of hockey players, and that sounds.
It's time for the final.
The final, yeah. It's the final.
It's time for the final.
All right.
Yeah.
So she talked to a University of Chicago linguistic professor.
Yes.
A man named Chris Kennedy.
Yes.
And he said both forms are grammatically correct. Final is a noun that has both singular and plural forms.
Yes.
So, of course, it is okay to use it either way.
I will tell you this. I prefer final. That's it. Because if you say it's the NBA Finals, are there multiple ones? Right? It's my issue with saying the Ohio State University as if we're totally confused what you're referring to. It's not at Ohio State University.
By the other.
And there are different directional schools within the, like, for instance, Michigan, that school up north as you folks in Ohio refer to. And I have no problem referring to your school's name.
There's
University of Michigan at Dearborn. There's University of Michigan at various other parts of the great state of Michigan. But we don't say it's the University of Michigan.
Why don't you?
Because we all know it.
Okay.
Which we all know we're referring to the school in Ann Arbor. You know, it's like the, you know, Ohio State University. We know who you are. We get it. We're not confused with another Ohio State University. My point is this, is what I'm saying.
What's your point, Rich?
My point is this, is that finals, it's not like, there's multiple NBA finals,
but
right?
Each game
it's not like it's
comprises it.
I'm agreeing with the French Canadians, and I'm agreeing with the cup. Well, it's the Stanley Cup final.
Well, like
it's
the Super Bowl is
over.
A final. There's no
right,
game.
It's not.
After.
It's not like, hey, let's go play the Super Bowls.
It's only one game.
Yeah, it's
the
only
World
one game.
Series. It's the World Series.
You want to call it the World Series?
Siri.
Well,
the French do.
By the way, there was a player, I believe, what team is he on? I forget, because Scoop and I are just watching nonstop on the MLB app, nonstop games. There is a player named Siri.
Oh, really?
S-I-R-I. And I said to Coop, I said, should we ask him a question? It's one of those dad moments.
Yeah, that's big dad joke.
It's big dad
big
joke.
Should dad we ask joke him? Energy right there.
Should we ask Siri a question? Do you ask him a question?
Big dad
joke. Do you ask Siri a question? Does Siri have the answer right now? So sure enough, Coop grabs the remote and he presses the microphone button. And I'm like, no, like we're not really asking. That actually happened the other day.
That's amazing.
All right, here we go. Kathy in Philadelphia. Of course we knew you would be interested in this nonsense. How you been? Kathy, we smoked you out. We haven't heard you in forever. What's going on?
I know. It's, you know what it is? I'm trying to get used to the Bills being the team to beat, and I'm trying to process that mentally, so I can't come
okay.
with guff.
Understood.
You know?
Understood.
And also, it's painful being a Phillies fan, so I can't make fun of TJ.
There's
only but so many things I can call about.
I got you.
And even though my Rangers are not part of the Stanley Cup final this year, so a few years ago, and I don't know the accuracy of this, but a few years ago they asked higher-ups in the NHL why it is a final.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was that the event is the final. And each game is part of the event. So even though there could be up to seven games in the final round,
right,
the event itself, those seven games or best of seven, are the final. But so technically,
yes,
the NBA has it wrong in calling it the finals because there's only one round in the final.
Thank you very much, Kathy. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. There you go. That's Kathy in Philadelphia chiming in because that makes complete sense.
I love grammar.
It's final exams, right? It's not finals exam.
Well, you're taking your finals.
I've heard both.
Well, you're taking your finals because you're probably taking more than one for more than one class.
Right. But if you're saying each game is its own, then the collective is the finals.
Or it's the final round.
Well, as the linguistics professor explained, both are correct.
Or it's the final countdown.
I think that professor's a moron.
You want me to get him on?
Nah. Sean in Pennsylvania is on. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, Rich. Love the show.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Yeah, hey, just a quick comment. I think it's just more in how it sounds. NBA kind of being understood as a plural type collective group of players. So if you say NBA Finals sounds a lot better, whereas cup is like a singular noun. I know I was listening to him to the conversation. Grammatically they're probably both correct, but yes, I think it's more of just how it sounds, right? You wouldn't say cup finals, you would say cup final. So I think it's just more how it sounds. Stanley Cup final sounds a whole lot better to the ears than NBA final does.
Okay, because it like if it was named the Larry O'Brien, the O'Brien, like if we referred to it as in the trophy, right? Like, so it would be Larry O'Brien final would be better than Larry O'Brien finals. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just, I mean, exactly, right? I mean,
okay,
if the NFL were a series as opposed to one final game for a championship, right?
Right.
And they called it the Vince Lombardi finals, that wouldn't sound right. They would call it the Vince Lombardi final.
Okay.
So to me, it's kind of a similar argument. It just sounds a whole lot better to say NBA Finals versus NBA Final, and the Cup Final makes a whole lot of sense.
Thank you, Sean. Greatly appreciate it. Great conversation, everybody.
That makes sense.
Great conversation, everybody. Is this the time that I should remind everybody that it's kind of crazy now that both Finals and Final have started, that one Final is named after the trophy, Lord Stanley, whose cup is being handed out. It's the Stanley Cup Final. It's not the NHL Final, right? It's kind of odd. It's the only one where, for instance, we don't call the Super Bowl the Vince Lombardi Final.
Or the NFL Finals.
Right. We call it the Super Bowl.
Right.
And it's not in baseball, Major League Baseball Finals.
Right.
It's the World Series. It goes way back forever. Right now, if they named it after Troy, it would be a piece of metal final. You know where I was going on that.
Brockman's boy.
I telegraph everything, according to Chris Brockman.
He does.
Now you know what it's like to live with me every day. So there's that. And it's just a time to remind everybody that Larry O'Brien was the head of the Democratic National Committee whose office got broken into by the Watergate burglars. And then he became the commissioner of the NBA. That is the Larry O'Brien after whom the NBA's finals trophy is named.
My mind was
unbelievable
when I found that out.
Watergate history.
Honestly, should they change it to the David Stern trophy?
Well, that would be an offense to the O'Brien family. But when you talk about greatest commissioners in the history of the sport,
and sports in general, like he's one of the best. He basically single-handedly, with the help of Magic and Michael and Larry, got the NBA to where they are today.
Say it's all about the Stern, going for the Stern.
Stern doesn't have anything named after him.
No,
I didn't even think about that. Wow.
Well, I mean, he just passed away about a year ago, right?
Yeah.
Plus.
Well, it was 20. It was right before Kobe, right?
I don't remember.
I believe so. That started off a weird year, man.
How about that?
I think it.
I guess.
A little traction.
All right, great coverage of the NBA Finals.
Well done.
And the Stanley Cup Final.
I got a final bet tonight in case anyone wants one.
So now I know you're referring to hockey.
We're playing hockey tonight.
It's about hockey.
Here's what I like tonight.
Do that
Tampa
hockey.
Starts off slow in series. They were down 0-2 to the Rangers, right?
Yes.
And while the Avalanche have had 9 days off, they're well-rested, and they're at home, and they're big favorites. So if you want to take Avalanche to win tonight by more than 1.5 goals, and you want to parlay that.
They score half goals in hockey? What do you mean? I don't know what you mean by that.
All right. If you want the Avalanche
to win. They cut the puck in half and then shoot it at the net? I've never seen that.
Avalanche to win by two or more.
Or is it half a net you shoot it?
And then tack on Nathan MacKinnon to light the lamp tonight. You get about 3-1 odds on that. Just throwing that out there.
So that's good?
In case anyone wants to make a little hockey scratch.
That's good when you say that 3-1 odds are good?
That would be good. That's high ROI, Rich, as we like to say.
Okay.
That's a return on investment.
Ah! See, your terms confuse me.
There's only one guy in this set that knows anything really about hockey.
And that's you?
No, it'd be Feller. So I
well, Hoskins is a huge hockey guy.
What do you think of his gambit, then?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Thank you. Well, when Wyatt Russell was here, we were so close to hitting on that. Remember, the Oilers lost in overtime. We had hit every other leg on that one.
You see, Rich, I was trying. Close. Sorry, Chris. I was trying to do the John Stockton thing. I'm trying to set Jay Feller up because he knows hockey. He's played hockey. He's gone through the pains and the agony. And I'd love him.
And then do what you want.
What do you think? See, that's why you shouldn't talk.
I was looking up how to say finals in French. It's finalist. So the whole S theory went out the window.
That was like 10 minutes ago, man.
I'm a little slow. I'm in Del Tufo's
chair. By the way, man, cut your mic off. You pronounced it like
it was Spanish.
Finale.
It's finale. You don't pronounce the S in French.
That was a bad idea.
In French, you don't do that. He's right. The French don't. It's all silent S's.
Well, there went that theory on my half.
Great stuff, guys. We're all over it.
Wow.
So let's turn to Doris Burke for a little bit more germane, pertinent information.
DB
on the NBA Finals, Game 6 tomorrow night. By the way, what a day in Boston tomorrow, huh? U.S. Open tee off, NBA Finals Game 6. And the Red Sox will hopefully for you go to 7 games over 500.
Hey, let's keep it going.
That's right.
It's only June 15th, Rich. That's right.
Tonight the Yankees go for 30 games above 500.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. These are facts. They try to go 46-16 tonight.
That's ridiculous.
Again, still waiting for you guys to accept New York or the field. Just anytime you're willing to say yes.
I don't bet.
Neither do I. You're the one who shows up with a cash T-shirt, but you only see the words "as." Let's take a break. Doris Burke. We will say hello to Doris when she joins us from the site of the NBA Finals. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, being the number to dial. We're all huge fans of hers, and she is calling the NBA Finals on ESPN Radio with Mark Kastischer at the play-by-play, PJ Carlissimo also on the mic with analysis, and she is just dynamite when she talks hoops, and she makes us smarter, and we love having her on this program. I believe it's her first foray on this show on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line from Boston, Massachusetts, from the worldwide leader in sports, the great Doris Burke. How are you doing, Doris?
I am superb, getting a little bit fatigued from the back and forth between coasts, but
yes.
The series has been worth it, that's for sure.
No question about it. I totally agree with you on it. I have thoroughly enjoyed watching these finals as they currently are playing out. What would you say is the difference maker through the first five games entering game six of these finals, Doris?
Yeah, I think I'd point to the play of the respective stars. And I try to remember, as I call these games, Rich, that there is 10 years difference and 6 finals experience difference between Jason Tatum and Stephen Curry. And I think for Jason, two things are in play the deeper this wears on. Obviously inexperience, but also then fatigue, I think, contributing to some of his turnovers. And we talk all the time, Rich, about, you know, you have to have great physical and mental stamina to play against Stephen Curry. And we're talking about when you're guarding. I think what's getting overlooked is the level of defense being played by the Golden State Warriors. So I think many things, obviously, but I look directly to the best players between these two teams.
And what would you say, I kind of touched upon this with your colleague Jeff Van Gundy, also calling these finals for the Worldwide Leader. I touched upon it with him yesterday about the Celtics' reactions to some of these calls and how the fourth quarter you could really point to their demeanor and say that was part of their downfall in Game 5, Doris.
100%, and I think it goes back even further than that because I had the Eastern Conference Finals as well. I had part of their Milwaukee series, and Rich, to me, that's immaturity as well. And far too often, listen, it's team-wide, and I've had this discussion. I've actually talked to Jason Tatum's mom, his trainer, Drew Hanlon. I said, your son is incredibly talented. And there's frustration because I don't think necessarily he gets a lot of calls. But every time you throw your hands up in the air, for that second and a half that your hands are in the air, Golden State is sprinting in the other direction, getting 5-on-4 and 4-on-3s. And listen, they're human. All of us are human. They're reacting to you showing them up. And I think it's the finals. Like, maybe in round 1, 2, and 3, you can get over with that. But not against this Golden State Warrior team, who is so dangerous in transition. These half-court defenses are so good. Both of these teams are well below their offensive rating in the half-court, in the regular season, in the early rounds, because that's how high-level this is. And all of those momentary mistakes because of your frustration is absolutely putting you at a deficit.
And Andrew Wiggins has come to the fore, certainly in games 4 and 5, a combined stat line of 43 points and 29 rebounds. He has been all that plus the biscuit that the Timberwolves thought he could be when they drafted him first overall in 2014 out of Kansas. Where do you think this is coming from, Doris?
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. It gives me great joy. And I'm going to tell you unequivocally that when he was in Minnesota, I could be critical of him. You know, you get captivated by this guy's physical tools athletically, but then the basketball skill set as well, the shot making, the tough twos that are always so critical in these environments. Listen, he's the one guy who can go and get his own when the beautiful game or Steph's pick and roll is not working. And there were moments where I thought the weight of a couple of his shots were truly extraordinary, and I thought took some of the wind out of the sails of Boston. And it's great, right? I go back to when he arrived in Minnesota. I think he was 19 years old, Rich. I'm not 100% sure. And some of the criticism was warranted. We questioned whether he cared deeply about the game, how passionate was his competitive heart. But boy, oh boy, isn't it like wonderful to see someone who had come through so much perform on this stage and live up to all the physical gifts he has. And listen, you know, we talk about Boston's defense. Gary Payton II and Andrew Wiggins and Draymond Green are influencing their ability to win games with what they're doing defensively. Oh, to see Andrew Wiggins get down in the stance and contest and contain and pressure Jason Tatum into some of these turnovers, this is something else to watch.
Doris Burke joining us from Boston, Massachusetts, where she and the rest of the ESPN radio crew will be calling Game 6 for those of us who need to listen to it, want to listen to it on ESPN radio, joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so let's talk about Game 6 and what to expect. I guess it's been 234 games since we've seen Steph react to not making a three. So it's been a while. I don't know if we have a frame of reference on how he might show up to Game 6. We know Clay better bring his earmuffs because the F-bombs might be coming from every seat in TD Garden on Thursday night. What are you expecting, Doris, in this one?
Yeah, well, just so you know, Rich, I have tried to predict every game, and I've been wrong every single time.
So what's your level of expectation? How about that? We'll soften the prediction business here for you.
Listen, yeah, so the one thing about the Celtics is we have to remember they were 20-21. They were really hard to watch. They hadn't figured anything out. And for them to have overcome that level of adversity, for them to win a road game against a Miami team that gives no quarter, to win in seven against Giannis Antetokounmpo and all the pressure he can put on you, I expect a great response. I expect a nasty environment. And I would say, see if you're going to make me pick.
No. You don't have to pick. I'm just saying, like, what do you think the adjustment? Well, you know the adjustments of each coach is going to try and make, and certainly what they've been trying to do over the last five games, and how you think, you know, game six might be just an extension of that, just the organism that is the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the Boston Celtics, and I'm going to pick the Boston Celtics just because why not go out on the limb? Who cares about being wrong?
But, okay.
I do expect Jason Tatum to sustain the level that he, you know, performed at in terms of his scoring, because I just think he's that good, and I think they'll do a better job of sort of, you know, continuing to be patient and move the basketball. I'm not saying they're not going to turn it over. It is who the Celtics are. They're going to turn it over some. But I do think that they're going to be a little bit more consistent, play with a level of offensive force, get the pieces moving. At their best, the Boston Celtics are a multi, drive and kick, keep moving it, change sides of the floor offense. And listen, it's going to bog down at times, but I think they'll be able to sustain it. And I think they win. And what Stephen Curry does is fascinating to me, because does he, you know, follow up a tough game with more shot making? I don't expect him to not make a three, but I do wonder if Boston's defense is maybe having a long-term effect, because we've seen that in the past where over the course of a series, it does take its toll.
Doris Burke here on the Rich Eisen Show. Again, game six on ESPN Radio. Check it out with Doris, Mark Kestisher, PJ Carlesimo, who's one of my favorite people on planet Earth. And you, I mean, that must be so much fun for you.
He's the absolute best, the best.
I mean, you've worked with a ton of amazing people, Doris. You got a good Hubie Brown story for me in any way, shape, or form?
Rich, you know, we are lucky to interact with these athletes who are incredible and can be awe-inspiring. I was a college student, and I was actually Rick Pitino's nanny when he was transitioning between the Knicks assistant job and the Providence head coaching job. I don't get in awe of anybody, but I grew up a Knicks fan.
Yes.
And Hubie called the house. Rick was away recruiting. Hubie was going to pick Joanne, Rick's wife, up for, I don't know, a picnic or something. And I could barely speak on the phone because Hubie Brown had called the Pitino residence. That's how in awe of Hubie I am and remain. And I'll say this to you. You know, I work with incredible colleagues because there's plenty about the NBA over the course of covering it that I didn't understand, and I needed explanation. Why this coverage? What does this terminology mean?
Yes.
And to their everlasting credit, Hubie Brown, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, name an analyst, they have answered every question I've had, and I've always so appreciated it from all of them.
Well, Hubie created the lexicon, did he not?
And
I mean, like he's the one who created most of the words that everybody uses when in referring to the floor, the painted area. I assume you spoke to him from the painted area of the Pitino residence when you answered the phone back
no
in the day.
Doubt. And what people don't know is, like, the greatest joy of part of this is the dinners we've had with Hubie over the years.
Yes.
Because his stories go back to the ABA, the wild, crazy days of the, you know, the ABA, and then him coming over to the NBA. I don't know if people understand, Rich, that there's no human being alive who has affected more generations on every continent than Hubie Brown. Think about all the teaching he did with all the clinics overseas and his passion for the game at 80-plus years old. He's a marvel. He is an absolute marvel.
So who was your Nick when you say you were a Nick fan growing up, Doris?
Yeah,
who was it?
I love Bernard King.
Oh.
You know, before Bernard King's knee injury, the NBA had nothing for him. And Hubie tells me this, you know, one of the things he would say to me as you're trying to learn the NBA game is, you know, who is your best player? And what are you doing to get him his shots in the areas on the floor that he was most comfortable? Well, for Bernard, that was the low box. And send what you may at him. Forget about it if you tried to check him, because I'm telling you, at his best, this guy was a bad man.
Oh, well, number 30, anytime I see another Nick wearing it, it's bizarre to me, Doris. Bernard King was my guy. I mean, I don't know if you could hear, I audibly reacted when you said the name Bernard King. That was my guy, too. That was my good.
I'm glad we have something in common. That gives me great joy.
Many things. I mean, you also have a better jumper than me, but I attempted, you know, the baseline. He would turn to the baseline from the lower box, and then just his shot, he would make it. From the baseline, turning around, didn't matter which way, which box, his turnaround jumper to the baseline was lethal.
He had high hips and a big backyard. And listen, a big backyard is a good thing as a basketball player.
Oh, I thought you were referring to my actual backyard where I was missing those jumpers as a child, which has caused me to talk about it more and more. I mean, my gosh. Yeah, I just remember those battles, Hubie in the old, I guess, Joe Louis Arena against the Pistons and Trapuka and Isaiah before the Bad Boys. Those were the Knicks teams that I thought when Bernard was teamed up with Patrick Ewing would win championships. And of course, Bernard was just never healthy to make that happen. You know,
and thus the long-suffering Knicks fans that we are.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I just want to ask you one story that a lot of people are talking about, Doris Burke, before I let you go on this day. What are your two cents on the story? It's not a story. He said it. Anthony Davis not picking up a basketball since he said April 5th. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, with the level of underperformance of that team, the mighty struggles, and I know they didn't play much together, but you are a part of the storied organization. What I don't understand is why would you say it? I mean, if it's true, why would you open yourself up to the criticism of that? And the fact that you, I mean, is it because he's not healthy? I don't know. I here's the thing, and I think it might have been Grant Hill, forgive me, I can't remember who was the first to say this. This is a top five talent when he is passionate and healthy and cares. If this is a sign that you don't care, that's problematic because you are wasting extraordinary basketball ability. I was absolutely stunned, Rich. What can you tell me your reaction to it?
Well, I mean, that is a similar thought that I had, Doris, that it is an indication if you don't know him, and I don't personally, that he doesn't. He doesn't care because the sense is that you get in the gym no matter what, right? I mean, Steph Curry, when he's done with a night, goes and he works out for an hour after he's dropped 40 on a team. And that seems to me an indication of working on your craft, that you're the best, arguably, that's ever shot the ball in the history of the game. And you need to work on your body, on yourself. And that Anthony Davis hasn't touched a basketball does give an indication that he may not love it. Like, he's not a grinder, right?
Right. And greatness requires a price and a toll. And sometimes it's an unhealthy pursuit sometimes in terms of, like, the commitment required. Maybe unhealthy is the wrong word, but sacrifice is certainly appropriate. And that is what strikes me about Steph Curry. Like, to watch teams target this guy, as they did early in his career, and see his physical transformation. Hear Draymond Green, when I spoke to him earlier in the year, talk about he's the first guy in the weight room before practice, and after he leaves, he's the last guy out. LeBron James, watch LeBron James, you know, compete in a conference finals game or finals game, and then be lifting the dumbbells with Mike Mancias in the back room after a game. It's the greatness comes at a price, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, the guy remains hungry even though he's one of the most dominant forces in the game, and he continues to work on his game. I was shocked he said it, and I fear what it represents.
Yeah, it set off an alarm bell with you.
No doubt.
Doris, thanks for the time. You know, I know you think there might be a game seven. That means more travel for you. So. You know, hydrate and enjoy every second of it. You got a great front row seat. We're listening. We love listening to you. We think you're terrific. That's not the royal we. That's the entire crew here on the show. And I hope this is the first of many conversations you and I can have.
I would look forward to it. I've been a fan, as I told you, from back at your ESPN days. And I thank you so much for having me.
Right back at you at Hey DB. Doris Burke on Twitter. I follow her. You should as well, at Doris A. Burke on Instagram. Joining us from the NBA Finals right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Just a complete delight.
Yeah,
she's a complete delight.
She's the best.
We didn't discuss this yesterday. Anthony Davis saying that he hasn't touched a basketball since early April.
Yeah, you know what's really funny? I think he really heard the criticism because yesterday...
video of him working out?
Yeah, so this, there's a Instagram basketball coach. The guy's name is Lethal Shooter, and he was working out with Anthony Davis yesterday. So I think he kind of, either he said that, maybe LeBron called him up, or
The problem is, and we have Darvin Ham on the show tomorrow, can't wait to talk with him, and I'm sure he will refute what I'm about to say. But anybody who loves it and eats it and breathes it and can't get enough of it doesn't take a break from it for 2 months.
Not that long of a break.
I didn't think it was a big deal, but we asked John Sally on Monday because that's when the story broke. And John Sally was like, yeah, that's kind of weird.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Especially when LeBron is like posting Instagram lives with his kids shooting in the driveway. Just anything, not even just a casual shot, you know, for Anthony Davis. It's
but
bizarre.
A few things about that, right? We is don't know when that video was filmed. It all came from a video that posted.
Right.
It was like one of these random videos. He was talking to a guy, and he said, I haven't shot since, I don't know, April 5th.
We just assume
it came out that day.
Yeah,
but
we assumed
don't
it was
know.
Over the weekend, I guess.
What if that was in May and that thing was filmed? I mean,
true. If that's what it was, then he should refute it. I mean, his
yeah. His
name is being mentioned, as she said, it gives off the impression of not caring, which is not something I've ever heard associated with Anthony Davis. Look, if you are a professional basketball player, you shouldn't go 2 months without touching a basketball if you're physically able to do it.
Yeah, but the thing about Anthony Davis is the concern with Anthony Davis has never been, can he put the ball in the hole? It's about...
health.
Can he stay healthy? So what if he's not shooting basketball? What if he's out like rehabbing? What if he's getting his body right? Like, I feel like you get to a point where, all right, you've been shooting that ball your entire life. 2 months to me doesn't seem like that big of a deal. If he's doing other things to get himself right.
No,
if he's not, then yeah, that's an issue.
I don't think he's sitting on the couch just watching movies.
Yeah, so
I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, I don't know of a single quarterback that spends 2 months without grabbing the football. I don't know of a single baseball player that would go 2 months without just grabbing a glove.
Yeah, pick up a bat, take a swing.
Yeah, but just doing something.
Do we really know? Like,
no, I don't.
We're assuming, but you don't know.
It's definitely an eyebrow raiser to say what's up with that. Certainly when last year was a total, complete, unmitigated Lakers disaster. As we've all described it, one of the worst seasons in the history of the Los Angeles Lakers.
That's fair.
And you'd want to, I would assume, get back in the gym right away. Say what you will about Westbrook. He probably doesn't go 2 minutes without picking up a basketball. You know?
Yeah.
Seriously. Say what you will about LeBron, and everybody says that about him, but he probably doesn't go 2 seconds without thinking about it.
He probably works out every day.
We'll talk about it with Darvin Ham on tomorrow's program. That'll be right around this time when we're speaking to him.
Are we going to go pick Darvin up, by the way? Or have we decided
We got to hit on that.
Let's hit on that, because we have a great idea.
Okay.
We have a great idea.
Tremendous.
Jay Felly may not think so, but we have a great idea.
Oh, and we also have a new fantasy team name. Rick Pitino's
Nanny.
I
wrote it down immediately. Rick Pitino's Nanny.
Doris Burke. What about Rick Pitino's, the Pitino family nanny.
Yes.
Back in the 80s.
Or as I just tweeted out, Bernard King's high hips. That could be a fan.
Bernard's big backyard.
That's my next year's fantasy team name.
Bernard's
right
big backyard.
Yes, I'm calling it. Yes.
Well, then I call the other.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm the Bernard King fan here.
That is true. I'll defer.
Bernard
to you.
King was little. Like I remember when he had back-to-back 50s. When he had back-to-back 50-point games on a Texas road swing, mm-hmm. I think he made back-to-back covers of Sports Illustrated. And I remember when he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, that was a big day for me.
I believe. You know, Bernard King is your Dr. J, so I will let you have.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Bernard's big backyard.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might have to keep my team. Don't trade for Giannis. How do I?
I mean, you are the
how
champion.
How do I switch
yeah,
up?
That's true. You're looking for back to back.
My championship team name. Yeah. If I win the fantasy and real NBA competitions,
man,
yeah, it'll be great. Meanwhile, the Yankees go for 30 games above 500 tonight. That'll be great.
And this is in addition to your Michigan, your Ohio State, your Notre Dame.
Oh, folks, in Canton, Ohio, get ready. Jacket dinner is going to be lit this year. First time I'm hosting that coming off of Michigan win over Ohio State. They're going to have to literally drag me out of there. They might have to. We might have to get, I would say all the offensive linemen in the room protecting me, but Orlando Pace is one of those guys. He might let a few defenders past him.
Yeah, security might be
he might fall for a swim move or two.
In effect.
All right, we'll take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. There's something about Darvin Ham that I don't know is being discussed, but that'll be next here on the show before Kyle Pitts and Rick Riley join us in studio hour number 3. ST Driver, Rogue ST Drivers. There's one to suit your game, that is for sure. There is the Rogue ST Max, which is incredible. What a combination of distance and forgiveness, because these sticks, the Rogue ST Drivers have been speed-tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. So many other of these golf equipment companies say that they have the big dog that could be biggest off the tee, so you could completely bomb it. These actually are the ones that you need to go check out to completely bomb it. The Max D is the dedicated draw model. If you need help with shot shape correction, want something more low spin, the Max LS, that's stronger trajectory, more neutral ball flight. But for the true players out there, when you're watching the U.S. Open this week, check out the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS, because that's the compact low-spin head that the tour players love. Callaway's thought through every aspect of speed, so all you've got to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. Coming up in hour number 3, Kyle Pitts will join us from the Atlanta Falcons. And he had a terrific first season. I don't think he scored a touchdown in America yet. His one lone touchdown was against the Jets in London.
You're right about that.
So we got to get him on the domestic pay dirt list, right? And Rick Riley will be joining us in studio. His new book, So Help Me Golf. Lots to talk about in the world of golf right now, and Rick is the perfect guy to do it. That's what we call perfect timing for a guest. Darvin Ham is on the program tomorrow.
Hey.
He's slated to call in.
Okay.
Now, does he know he's right around the corner?
I'm not sure. Don't think so.
The Lakers facility. Lakers.
Laker.
Lakers facility.
Or is it Laker?
Two blocks.
Well, it's more than two, but less than six. We'll say that.
We can get door-to-door walk if the lights are with you. Less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, easy. 5 to 7 minutes.
Between here and their El Segundo home.
Correct. It's literally right down the street.
So, I mean, if he's got nothing better to do.
Right.
He could walk here.
He could.
Walk back. Like he's yes. on at 1:20 Eastern, 10:20 a.m. here locally. If he's
could
got it
by 1:10,
he could. If he's got an 11 a.m. meeting at the facility, mm-hmm. he could be back for it and walk there. Or we could send him a car. Even send him, which by the way is the most Los Angeles thing to do, is to send someone a car for a 60-second ride.
But we really want him in studio.
Like if you send him a car, right. you make a. This is the Californians. You make a left, right?
It's Nash out here, I think.
I think you make
or is it Douglas.
You make a left, and then another left, and a right, and
right
you're here.
Right. Now, here's the deal. We could send a car, or...
Yes.
We had a great idea.
We have a great idea. What is Adam's this? In the back, so Adam will take Darvin's
our
phone
call screener.
Yeah. So what if... And we all drive very nice, respectable cars.
Well,
however,
one
of us has a really nice car. Jay Felly drives a Maserati.
Yeah, okay? I saw that today.
So what if we have Adam take Jay Felly's Maserati and just drive right down the street and pick up Coach Ham?
Be hard for him to say no to that. And if he's hungry, In-N-Out's right there too. So Darvin be like, yeah, it's right at lunchtime. Adam be like, Coach, I got you. We'll hit the In-N-Out.
Then
we'll drive
In-N-Out,
right
then
to the
boom,
studio.
We'll come over to the studio.
What if Ham is a vegan? Can you be a vegan if your last name is Ham?
I don't think so.
Okay. I digress. So do we literally have our booking staff call the Lakers and say,
offer it up.
We've got a Maserati.
Yes.
Here's what we call a Rich Eisen Show Maserati. Has it been detailed recently?
No, Adam can do that while he's out.
Well done. But he's got to answer the phone.
He's got to answer the phone.
I mean, he's a function.
You can take care of the detailing tonight.
How many phone calls do you think we're getting? I mean, we get enough, but it's a quick drive from here to there.
What, you leave people on hold?
Sure. People stay on hold for hours. They can wait 10 minutes for us to go pick up Coach Ham.
Is your car suitable enough?
It is, but I like that the guy who's offering my car up has the front end of his on the desk over there.
Yeah, we already know I had some issues. Yeah. That's why
he was just sitting there, and the guy in front of him forgot he put the car in reverse and just slammed right into him when he thought he just was going straight ahead, and he went right back.
That's
why my back is killing me right now.
I don't know how they say
your back hurts. Adams, here's how we term it. And unfortunately, we've let the cat out of the bag. The Rich Eisen Show Maserati will pick you up. The show Maserati will come and pick you up.
It goes 185, just so you're aware.
Oh, yeah. If you go 0 to 60, you could be here in 60.
Yeah.
Do we have Adam put, like, a black tie and a coat on?
Yes, and a hat.
And a hat?
And gloves.
And I think that's a lot for him.
Driving gloves.
You know, gloves for sure.
Squad goals.
You want the white glove.
He should dress like he's an extra in Arthur.
Arthur.
Brockman's laughing. He's never seen Arthur.
I have actually seen Coach Ham.
How have you seen Arthur?
Great idea, guys.
Yeah, you just Del Tufo the music.
Yeah, what were you doing?
You guys, back him off. You got him off his game. He's like freaking out. Like the newest coach of the Lakers, and he's going to be sitting shotgun in his Maserati. Well, he's in the back. He can't be up front with Adam.
Do you have a back seat or is it a two-door?
It's small. It's there. There's a back seat.
I've actually driven the car before. It's plush.
I'm sure.
Darvin Ham's a big guy. 6'7".
He's got to be up front. You got to make a seat back.
TJ.
You got to go up front.
Darvin Ham, member of the 723 Club.
Oh, yeah. Or we share a birthday with him.
Yeah.
He has to come in now.
We need a picture.
That didn't work when you met Nomar. Hey, we have the same birthday. He thought you were weird.
No, but
so we call up the Lakers and say, Coach Ham's got to come in.
I won't lead with that.
Coach Ham's got to come in. Why? Because he shares a birthday.
With two of you guys.
Yeah.
We won't lead with that. We'll be out the door. Hey, oh, by the way, we have the same birthday.
Yeah, I mean, Coach could be big in astrological signs, and that might be the thing that gets him to come.
Yeah, I think we need to workshop this.
We don't have time, Rich.
He's going to be on the phone.
By the time we figure this out, he'll be on the phone.
He is just down the street, though. The Lakers have no excuse.
I mean, it's so close.
Yeah. Unless he's calling in from his home. Maybe he's...
Which is possible.
I don't know.
But he just got hired. Does he have a home?
He's in the office. You know what he's doing? Picking up a basketball.
Grinding tape.
He's picking up a basketball.
He's over there right now.
He didn't even get that.
He's probably there right now.
Picking up a basketball. I heard it.
Somebody on his team hasn't done in 2 months.
Why do you think I'm not paying attention?
Because you don't. Sometimes I look over at you and you're looking at your phone.
But I don't have to stare at you to hear. My ears work. I can look at something else and my ears are still
working.
Darvin
Ham, one of the best Sports Illustrated covers ever. Yeah.
Darvin Ham, the only coach in the history of the NBA who shattered the backboard.
We can't confirm.
I don't know that Bill Russell never shattered one, and I'm pretty sure Steve Kerr.
Oh, you mean the entire history of the NBA?
I can't think of
another. Do you think he's the first? You think he's the only?
Well, how many people can shatter backboards? It has to be either Daryl Dawkins or Shaq or
head coaches.
You know,
Jerome Lane. Did he ever coach Jerome?
He was never.
Send it in, Jerome.
Yeah. So
we might need that as a drop.
Send it in, Jerome.
Yeah. I don't know who it would be, but it's just even when one of us, you know,
just dunks
says
on
something and dunks verbally
send
on the
it in,
other.
Jerome.
That's a new drop. Just any raftery makes me smile anyway. Kyle Pitts, Rick Riley, Hour 3.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.